Praise God, everybody. Bishop Ed Akers here. Good to see you this morning on this last day of 2023. Welcome to my 9:45 Live, my weekly 15 minutes to get your week started on a good foot. Give you a little uplift or devotion about what God's speaking into my heart and into my life. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. I've been doing this for several years now, a couple of years, and continued this on, even after turning the church over to Pastor Brent and the team. And with our global initiative, I just felt this is something I wanted to continue doing. Plan on doing it throughout the next year and see where the Lord leads us on that. But here we are, the end of another year. This is my 63rd revolution around the sun, and I thank God for every one of them. At the end of this year, all I can say is I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to the Lord for all his goodness to allow me to be a part of what he's doing in this day and hour. I'm also not only grateful to him, but I'm grateful to my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my mom, my mother, who's still with us, all of those people in my life who enrich my life and make my life so much of the joy that it is to live. I'm also grateful to my friends. I have such great, wonderful friends in my life here at the church, friends around the world, really, and getting new friends every year as we continue to work around this world for Jesus. My church and my partners at VLI, Victorious Living International, and Victorious Living Church. I love my partners and my supporters. You are a blessing. You make this possible. When I see a family come out, we just had family 35 released from Brickland slavery and human trafficking in Pakistan this past weekend, over Christmas. And more of you donated the last week to help us get more people out. And every time somebody comes out, I'm so grateful to you who support us and make this possible. We could not do this without you. So many more things to be thankful for. Our health, just so many good things that's happening in our life. And we're thankful to God that even in the hard times, he's present and makes life worth living. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about what God has put on my heart. As one who's given my life to the Lord in a way in which I have shifted my life into full-time ministry many years ago, giving myself to the full cause of what I believe is the most important thing in this world, and that's Jesus Christ and winning souls. I'm concerned continually with the condition of the church, the body of Christ, what we call the church. And it's especially here in my homeland, the United States. And we're watching God do powerful things around the world. In places we didn't even imagine they would ever be open to what God is doing through Christianity. But we're seeing it in some wonderful places. But we want that here as well. But I'm continually focused, continually concerned with the state of the church. Not only a local church here that I help oversee, but and other ministries that we have, but the church around the world, and especially the church in America. You see, as Christians, we're not supposed to see the world the way non-Christians see it. I don't see this world the way most of our culture sees it. I see it differently. Not that I'm better, but I see it from a biblical, scriptural perspective. I don't interpret the events that are happening in the world through the lens and the eye of just humanism or humanity. God is at work, and God has said some things about this world, and he has said some things about our lives. And I interpret this world through the lens of Scripture. So when I come to the end of the year, I'm always praying. Now, when we come to the end of a year, it's been customary and culturally customary for people to make resolutions or promises to themselves, starting a new diet, getting on a budget, maybe getting a home next year, setting goals. And these are very positive things, can be very positive things. But I've learned a long time ago that before I make any promises to myself, any resolutions, any goals, to go to prayer. And when I go to prayer, specifically say to the Lord, instead of me telling him what I want in 2024, what do you want? What is the burden of God? I'm speaking primarily to Christians today, and many of you preachers and ministers that listen to me, those who care to follow me and listen, I'm talking to you. I'm talking directly to you today. Are we asking the Lord, when we go into a new year or anything in our life, Are we telling him what we want and hoping that he meets all the requirements and commands and things that we desire? Or are we starting our prayers and our mindset with, what does God want? What does he want in 2023? And I believe after a month of prayer in 2024, after a month of prayer and time before the Lord, there are four things that I believe he wants to see come back to the church, or at least renewed in the church, or focused on in the church. Not just my local church here in Grove City, but the church, the body of Christ around the world, and specifically here in America. And so here are the four things that I would pray and hope to see come to the church in 2024. First of all is a return to holiness and sanctification to our pulpits, in our messages, to our leaders, and to the people of God. We are not of this world. We are not to be friends or in love with the things this world has to offer. We are to go counterculture in our beliefs. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. We are to be more a stumbling block than we are a source of motivation for the world. We're trying to get in the way of people going to hell. We're trying to interrupt their wrong thinking. We're trying to introduce the way, the truth, and the life. And there must be a return of righteousness and holiness and sanctification. We have a lot of motivation in our pulpits. People being motivated how to do a better budget, motivated how to handle their money, motivated how to have a better marriage, motivated how to raise their children, motivated that God wants to give them many, many blessings. And God is a blesser. And yes, we know we can find from the Bible all the help we need to be great husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. But yet, where is the preaching of separation? We are not first and foremost called to God to improve our lives. We are called to God to lay our life down, and then God uses our life the way he desires to use it. This is called sanctification. It's coming apart from something, separating ourselves, and committing ourselves to living a holy and righteous life. I feel Americans especially have given up on the idea that you can live holy, because holiness was made into an outward appearance thing for so many decades and so suppressive in its interpretation that no one could live up to these standards. But we can live with a holy and separated life. We don't have to partake of what the rest of the world partakes in. We have a will to say no. We can pray instead of panic. We can love instead of hate. We can do right instead of wrong. We can live righteously as easily as we can sin. But it's not preached in our pulpits very much at all in this generation that God wants you to come out from among the world and be separate. That the world is an enemy to God. And those who love the world are enemies of God, at enmity with him. I pray that we see a return in the pulpits, in the preaching, in the living and lifestyles of Christians, of righteous living and holiness as an emphasis, as a core of value that we hold to, because the Bible instructs us to be holy. He said, "Be as I am holy, therefore you be holy as I am holy." God wants you to be set apart from this world, to stand out like a sore thumb, like a stumbling block, like a fish going against the entire school of other fish. You and I are to be holy. The second thing I think God wants to bring back to the church is a burden for lost people. Where is the burden and the urgency to see our loved ones saved? Where is the understanding that people who die without God are going to hell, separated for all of eternity, their soul lost and damned forever? Where are the saints who pray for those lost in their community, their family members, their friends? Are we not going to get in their way as they are stumbling their way to hell? Are we not going to warn them and call them to salvation? Are we not going to talk to them about repentance and the love of God and the grace of God that is a result of repenting and turning to God and giving God your life, where is the emphasis on lost souls? Where's the church praying for the lost loved ones of family members right in our own churches? Where is the church in taking this message that Jesus Christ saves us from sin and that we must repent? Where is that message? It is not to be seen in most churches in America. We're trying to be culturally relevant instead of culturally impactful. We must bring the message of salvation and the burden for lost souls back to the house of God. Do you want to see your loved ones go to hell? I don't. Do we have the ability to lead them to Christ? We do. Are we doing it? Not so much. It is time in 2024 to care about lost souls and bring them back to the house of God. No church would lack growth if the people of God would save souls and pursue the lost people just in their circle of influence. That's number two. Number three, that is, church would unlock the prison cell that we have locked the Holy Spirit in. We have locked the Holy Spirit in a prison cell of religious activity. We have manhandled His presence to be almost non-existent in our gatherings or in our lives. Where are the miracles and the signs in the American church on a given Sunday? Where are the prophetic words, words of knowledge and gifts of God moving among the people in Bible studies, church services, on the street, at the supermarket? We have told the Holy Spirit, as a church whole in America, we don't want strange and weird activity in our Sunday morning services. Our Sunday morning services are crafted for those who do not believe and are not familiar, and we don't want to scare them off with some Holy Spirit stuff. But where is the Holy Spirit in the church? He's supposed to come out of us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, Jesus said, and the Bible says this, He spoke of the Holy Ghost. Where are the miracles in your life? Where are the signs and wonders? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you receiving the gifts and using them? Are you growing in the fruits? The fruit of God, that is the changing character that results from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is it preached about, taught about? Is it practiced? We must see a return of the Holy Spirit. We must unlock Him and quit manhandling His presence in the church. We give lip service to the Holy Spirit. We say we believe in the Holy Ghost. We're charismatic. We're Pentecostal, whatever the titles are, but we have no expression. And without the presence of God, why would the world want anything to do with the church? Finally, number four, I believe that the Lord wants to return to the church a demand by the members of the body of Christ that the preachers, pastors, evangelists, televangelists, national leaders, local leaders, all live with integrity and godly lives. Enough of looking like entertainers, motivational speakers, and talk show hosts, and elevating people because they have talent and gifting. Where is the integrity? We as people of God must demand accountability with each other. I am a leader in the body of Christ, but I am accountable to other leaders in the body of Christ. I am accountable to the members of my ministry. I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to my wife. True accountability that shields us from rampant immorality in the pulpits and in the ministry. We are watching way too many moral failings, too many scandals among those on the national and even local levels of ministry. We must demand that our leaders be godly, separated, sanctified people. And if they are not, they need to take a seat, they need to take a break, and they need to grow and be delivered from whatever it is that has taken the place of the calling and the anointing of God in their life. Where are the sacrificial shepherds, the fiery evangelist that will preach it at all cost? Where is the non-compromising man or woman of God that will not try to get more likes on Facebook, more followers on Instagram, more TikTok likes and interaction? Where are the men and women of God who want to be right, influential, and not just popular? Where are they? And so those are the four things I believe that God wants to bring back to the church and that I want to be a part of helping bring back in 2024. Holiness and righteousness as a lifestyle and a message. A burden for lost souls. A burden for lost souls. The presence of the Holy Spirit uninhibited and encouraged. And finally, leaders with godly lifestyles and integrity. And no room for compromise. These aren't popular things to say. People would rather I get on here and say four things that God wants to do for you in 2024. Well, what he wants to do for you is he wants to make you holy. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to cleanse you. And he wants to get you closer to him. He wants then to anoint you and empower you. Favor, yes. Blessing, yes. Prosperity, yes. But it's all a tool for God to use you to do his will on the earth. It's not a reward. It's not a personal agenda. In 2024, we better get serious about God in our churches, being preeminently king over our leaders, over our body, over the family of God, over our churches, and over our ministries, or God will go elsewhere to find workers. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24 is a good synopsis on how you should approach and I should approach 2024. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's not a popular message to say the church needs to be more holy or that Christians need to be more righteous and more separated from the ways and outlooks and thoughts of a world system that really is contrary to the Word of God. I want to encourage you today. These are strong admonitions or encouragements. But let's live holy. Let's commit ourselves to fully engage Jesus Christ in our life and to fully lay down our lives and to not put our resolutions up, to not put our goals before God, but to go to God and ask God, what do you want of me today? Maybe he'll say, lay it down. Maybe he'll say, give it away. Maybe he'll say, talk to this person. Maybe he'll say, lay hands on that sick person. If we don't become spirit-led, led by the values of God and his presence and the word, then we're just a club meeting, a gathering of social folk, having some laughs, maybe some inspiration. But we are the body of Christ, the king. We are part of the kings and priests of our God. We are world changers and shakers. We are to preach unadulterated truth from the Word of God without reservation and, ladies and gentlemen, live those truths out. If the devil can help you sin, God can surely more keep you from it. For greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. It's a strong message. I intend to use these four platforms as a way to expand on what I believe God wants to restore to the American church. What I'm seeing in Pakistan, the Philippines, Africa, other places around the world that we have witnessed great moves of God, I see a lacking here. There may be pockets, and thank God for them. But over and above any nation on earth, we have every Sunday morning at least to stoke the fires of revival, to stoke and to blow on the embers that have grown cold in the hearts of men and women, and yet we take so much of our Sunday mornings, push the Holy Spirit aside, get rid of holiness, don't talk about lost souls, and we give motivational speeches. People don't need motivation, they need salvation. People don't need motivation, they need sanctification. People don't need motivation. They need the power of God and the truth of that word to come alive in their life. I do pray you have a blessed 2024, and I can think of nothing that brings a greater blessing than to lay your life down for Christ and allow Him to mold it and shape it and use this year and you however He wants. In that, you will find the greatest blessing and fulfillment. Remember these words in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, go to my YouTube page, Ed Akers Ministries. Look for that on YouTube and follow and subscribe. And there you'll all these messages. And my podcast is as well available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon podcast platforms. This message will be on the podcast before the day's out. Take it this week, listen to it, play it over and over again, and learn the truths in it. I think it'd be a blessing to you. Well, those of you that support Victorious Living International, thank you for your support. You'll be getting a full report from me soon, video, and we've been communicating with many of you by messages, private messages, emails. We're going to continue that. We're going to try to increase those communication points and make them more plain for you. 2024, we're scheduled now to go to Honduras for a great crusade in April. Late September, we'll be going back to Pakistan, God willing. And we're going to take a team to the Navajo reservations areas in New Mexico and Arizona. We're working on that one, right? All those right now. They're in the planning phases. We'd love to have you be a part. Go to victoriouslivinginternational.com. Learn more about what we do on the international scale. VLCC.tv to learn about our local church here in Grove City. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful year. And may we see all the things God has for us come to pass. God bless you.